Establish a quorum, starting on my far left, please.
Norm McLean.
Douglas Ward.
Justin Vitanen.
John Thomas, present.
All present and accounted for. Pledge of Allegiance, Norm, would you lead us in that, please?
Yes.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Norm. Anyone have any added agenda items? Okay. Well, we have public comment.
You do.
There's nobody here but us. We can do whatever we want.
Make that a finding, Patty.
Okay.
That they're out of control within the first 30 seconds.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, number six. Approval of the...
There's something that Steve's going to present to you tonight that I gave you guys copies of. Would that be an added agenda item? Or?
I don't know.
We should do it.
I think it would be.
What is it?
I wasn't going to tell them that one. They can't know. It was secret documents that they got. You weren't supposed to read them. They said for secrecy only. No, I'll be glad to share whenever it's my turn to share.
And
there's a public comment section.
Your turn is anytime you want.
Okay.
So if you want to share with us,
all right.
Please do.
Well, first of all, I want to introduce myself to you. I met a couple of you informally, but I don't know that you folks have met me formally. And now it's the first day of my second month here, and the city is still standing, so I don't know if that's good or bad. But I am a planner by profession, and our goal, I guess, as a group is, first of all, just to get all the different documents in place that need to be in place so that we can do planning. And to me, planning has two parts, and the two parts are long-range planning, which is your comprehensive plan, and then short-term planning, which is someone comes in the door and it's a subdivision or it's a zoning issue and we attend to it. And then there's the accompanying piece of all that, and that is enforcement. And so as I understand it, we're trying to hurriedly get all the comprehensive land use planning components done and approved by DLCD. I met with them last week, their office in Bend. There is a public hearing, I think it's slated for the 6th of May in Salem, where the commission will be reviewing our status. And the thought was at that time, maybe they would take an action to approve our comprehensive plan and all of its component parts. But my understanding is it's been placed on the agenda as a status update only because of some belief that perhaps we won't be ready for review by that date certain. So the DLCD staff, Karen particularly, said that at that meeting, if it looks like we're close to being complete, that everybody's in agreement, then they would ask the commission to set that for their next date. And their next date, I guess they meet for 3 days every 6 weeks. And so they would be meeting July 18th, 19th, and 20th. And hopefully at that time then we would resolve and we would have their blessing. And I think we need their blessing in order to turn to the county and say, county, okay, we're now in a position to assume these responsibilities because we've gone through you as a clearinghouse and you've agreed to whatever was still outstanding. And so that's my understanding. And then along with that, I reviewed the IGA. We have an interlocal agreement with the county right now that says they will provide these number of planning services through July 1st. So we have a little bit of a gap between July 1st and July 18th or 19th or 20th. Basic question, who's going to do what? And I think probably we've got some time, and ask the county to just, as a friendly amendment, continue their responsibilities until the 1st of August, okay? So that we don't have any hiccup in the process. Okay? So that's one thing I wanted to just bring you up to date on that. And then also, along with that, I'm trying to be a good student and learn all the planning prescriptions and processes here in Oregon. And I've done this now. I've been a planning director, a community development director, overseeing planning in 9 jurisdictions. This is my 7th state in the last 30 years. So all this stuff I've seen before, it's just every place you go, it's a little bit different. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was that one of the items that was before you at your last meeting, I believe, was the component of the historical preservation. And you folks, after some consideration, approved it and moved it forward. And then it was before the council on the, was that the 14th?
14th, yes.
Okay. And I really didn't get a chance to look at it until that day. And when I looked at it, I had some concerns about it, and I thought to myself, my first inclination was, this thing has really been through a process, you know, where am I to intervene at this late date? And then the mayor came in and expressed reservations too. And at that juncture I said, well, it would not hurt at all to continue this item so that I can take a look at it and see if there's any issues or concerns I have, and then bring them back to council with the idea that I bring them back to council at their next regularly scheduled council meeting, which is April 11th. Okay. So this last weekend I sat down at home and just thought I'd probably spend an hour looking through that document. And 8 hours later, I finished not only looking at it, but interjecting comments. And seeing how you folks have already approved it, you've already worked through it, and you know, and I'm an upstart from Idaho of all places, I thought it prudent to bring my text amendment issues to you to take a look at. If you had issues or concerns about my issues or concerns, then you had time between now and the council meeting to advise me or advise the council or come to the council meeting or whatever. So more than anything, this is a heads up. This is just fresh off of the printer. I think you have 3 documents. One is a cover letter that just expresses, you know, I've been through it, and here's some areas where I had some concerns, and here's the nature of my concerns. Then you have a working copy that is in a legislative format that shows things that I've suggested for deletion, things I've suggested for addition, and then in blue, my comments, which are basically philosophies that you may or may not embrace, and then a cleaned up copy that doesn't have any of the strike-throughs, doesn't have any of my rhetoric for your review, all right? And again, I had any number of questions or concerns. I think you just need to fathom your way through. And hopefully you can read the blueprint. Can you read the blueprint?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Have you got 2 copies of that?
No,
you
got 1.
You should have
each one should have 3 copies. You should have you should have a messy copy, a clean copy, and a cover letter.
Okay. This is your clean copy, finished copy, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, the finished one would obviously take away the underlining yellow, but if you're just seeing one that has the underlining, then that is everything that would be added. But I thought also it would be important for you to see what I subtract.
Okay.
And some of it is just, you know, English is one of my strong suits, and I saw a lot of things that I did not think were very strong sentence structures, and so I've gone in and changed quite a bit of the language. It's just trying to make it a stronger sentence structure. But also, there's things like I've removed the historical district from there. I've tried to shore up private property rights. I've tried to make it less punitive and more incentive-oriented. And I had a long talk today with Deborah. I sent her over. She's got all this stuff. I think her first reaction when she saw it was one of concern. Not so much that I intruded and put stuff out, but more, you know, we're in a hurry to try and get this thing wrapped up with the LCD, and they may take umbrage at this, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, look, you know, the goal here isn't to rock the boat. It's just to have a document that works for the community, all right? So I'd have you review what I say. Yeah, if you agree with it, fine. If you disagree with it, fine. You know, it's just my comments. And I got to tell you this. My comments in $3 will buy you a cup of coffee. Okay? So that's the value of my comments.
Now, you've submitted this to the council already, right?
I've already put it on their agenda for the 11th. Just to get off my plate. Plate is just filling up with a whole lot of different things.
Well, you know, Pat is a very thorough and deep digging person when it comes to this historical stuff, but sometimes she gets a little far out.
But I want to qualify that in no way are my comments or anything contrary. I mean, no disrespect to all her hard work. And the other thing is that she had two products. One was a comp plan component, and the other was the code enforcement. On the comp plan component, I didn't touch anything. It was fine, it looked good, left to be. It was just the code enforcement issue, and that is, you know, we're a startup community, we've got two properties, do we really need 30 pages of rules and regulations at the onset? And do we need to be so punitive and authoritative in our approach to people that have historical properties? I mean, if they have a historical property, don't we want them to come forth with it? And if they come forth with it, don't we want to thank them for that rather than, if you don't do everything we ask you to do, we're going to penalize you and take away your firstborn male child and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, you know, we just want to love them to death.
Remote, right?
Yeah.
Well, it would be, to me, if like a Bend, Oregon is maybe, and I don't know this, but could be the smallest community that like a Pat Cleaver has worked with. You know, I can understand, and all of her concerns with the state, I can understand where she would have a problem downsizing a document to the pond.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. I think, because I've hired lots of consultants to construct lots of things, and they want to do two things. One, they want to put out a lot, because that makes it look like they've done a lot for you. And two, they like to look around and see who else is in the business and capture their thoughts and ideas and then put all that together. And that's a pretty standard process. But in the same breath, how often do you have a brand new community that's squeaky clean? I mean, they still have the, it's like a car, you buy a brand new car, it has that brand new car smell. Yeah. We tell that brand new city smell to us, mm-hmm. And the question is, do you just need to go overboard? And I will probably be bringing you back other stuff too, all right? Like I looked at the sign ordinance. The sign ordinance is like 46 pages. I want you to know that I believe Phoenix, Arizona sign ordinance is 46 pages. And I came from a community just now, CUNA, that has 16,000 people, so roughly 10 times the size of this city. We had 2 pages for sign ordinance. So maybe we didn't have enough there, but it begs the question, maybe we didn't have enough there, but this place is 1/10 the size, and yet it has roughly 20 times the amount of sign. So do we really need at the onset all of these rules and restrictions to make us happy, healthy, and whole. And my view is, you know, you keep it simple, stupid, until you need to do more.
Well, Steve, what did Deborah have any specifics as to concerns that would not pass the state at the state level for historical codes? Was there anything specific?
It's more like, I'm trying to put it in a nice way. It's like respect and courtesies back and forth, and we might disrupt some of the respect and courtesies back and forth.
With the state?
And I got to tell you, you guys may think I'm out of line here, but I've been in 7 states, and I've been doing this planning business for 30 years, and fundamental to it, from my perspective, is the Fifth Amendment that says, you know, we have a right to private property, and private property rights ought to be respected, and that I ought to be secure in my properties, okay? And I've seen nothing but a gradual erosion of, when our nation was formed, we had what was known as a bundle of rights, and that was you had your property, and you had all the rights of that property to the center of the earth, and you had them to the heavens. Just this huge bundle of rights. Mm-hmm. And slowly but certainly, those have been taken away. The mineral rights below your ground, the air rights above your ground, and now slowly but certainly, the rights on your ground. Mm-hmm. And the question is whether we as a community just go along blindly and let everybody else everywhere else say, you know, well, I don't think you need that, or, you know, we know best, or we, within reason, try and preserve those for the public. I certainly don't want anybody on my land messing around on my land without my permission. And your house and your property is probably the most important investment in your life. Okay. So it should not be trespassed against.
All right.
And it's just real easy for political bodies to do that through the rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So I'm a minimalist when it comes to rules and regulations and real private property rights. And I'm out of water here in Oregon, which seems to want to have a state one size shoe fits all kind of apparatus.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking that there's no reason to just go along blindly with everything the state wants us to do.
Right. Okay. I share your philosophy. It's just that I'm numb a little bit to Oregon state regulations, and it, you know, I hope that we can get this thing through DLDC. Some of my frustrations have been for 3 years now, being on this planning commission, working with DLDC and everything, and trying to get the codes and everything finished in Lapine, get all of our mapping, get the codes, get the comprehensive plan, get DLDC satisfied, and I'm sitting here for 3 years and it still isn't done. And so I think
I'm hearing you. And again, that's why I can say what I'm saying to you, but to them, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Because if I get them angry because they think I'm being disrespectful, guess what they're going to do with everything you've worked real hard for 3 years?
Exactly.
It's going to end up on a shelf someplace, and they'll be sending us messages, you know, you need to do what we want you to do, and if you don't do what we want you to do, then guess what?
Oregon is what I've been told. I've traveled around a lot, but I haven't had any experience in local government in other states, but Oregon supposedly is one of the toughest as far as land use issues and everything's in the nation.
And there's nothing wrong with being tough with land use regulations, but the jurisdiction ought to be the one that's tough with land use regulations. It shouldn't be the state saying, we know what's toughest best for you. Mm-hmm. It should be us saying what's toughest best for us.
Yeah.
Okay. And because again, they're a far away, they don't know what the needs are here. And I gotta tell you, the state is as big and as wide and diverse as it is, has 100 different kinds of views and values. And if you just say, no, there's just one view and there's just one value, then it really says you at the local level, where planning is supposed to be, I mean, that's how it started out.
Yeah.
You know, it's really not with you folks.
Yeah.
And when I went to DLCD, I mean, I just had to bite my mouth shut because they were saying things to me that just were unbelievable, you know, because my first thought was, hey, look, the voters, they voted the city in. You need to respect the voters and what the voters say. And all I was hearing them say was, we decide what it was that the voters decided.
Welcome to Oregon.
One of the big concerns the residents had here was the sign and clutter problem on 97.
Yes,
that needs to be addressed.
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
And it needs to be addressed in a...
Hello, Deborah.
Patty? Yeah?
In a
you're in the meeting
in a
now.
Slow,
hello?
Comprehensive way.
Can you hear us?
She can't hear us.
Can you hear us? Wow. That's not good.
Anything else under additional added agenda? John?
Under added agenda?
Yeah, anything else?
Now, is that where we're going over this historical document?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have you at your leisure look it over, talk to me individually or collectively about it. If there's issues or concerns,
this local call request.
Then, by all means.
You said you already talked
to dial a one when
about an hour.
Okay. Did she feel that any of these changes would create problems with the state?
Oh. I think that was her first concern was, you know, anything you do at this point.
I'm going to kick it back.
My rock.
This is Deborah.
Deborah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Here you go.
Good. Hello, Deborah. So we're rocking and rolling?
Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
Hello.
We're still here. Hello, everyone.
Okay, we'll move to number six, approval of the meetings for February 15th. Anyone have any corrections, additions, or subtractions to make on the minutes?
I don't.
No.
No? Then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes for Wednesday, February 15th.
I'll second that.
I would make a motion that we approve February 15th meeting minutes.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nay. Past goals and priorities. I believe we did this once before, and you had the list there, John. I looked through all my paperwork, and I couldn't find where we listed what we listed for goals and priorities way back, whenever it was.
And you know, that was probably 2011.
Yes, it was.
I don't think that we. By the time we had a missed meeting this winter and different things, we haven't, I don't think, gone over 2012 goals and priorities. So you might just set a few simple ones tonight, Mr. Chair.
Okay, you have suggestions?
We can make a goal to have DLDC completely satisfied this year, as we have in the last couple of years. I'd like to see that.
Well, you know,
before I leave the commission.
You know, I attended a couple of their meetings up here way back in 2010, and those folks have got some real weird ideas. One of their ideas was that no one should have a house here that sits on anything larger than a lot, and they want us to get rid of all acreage, and they're. And I think Deborah has done a really good job of having them see where they're erring at.
Well, she can talk to them. Well, Deborah, this is Stephen.
Hi.
And I was just telling about my experience with DLCD here the other day, and mostly I kept my mouth shut because I could tell you are a good interpreter, and that's what we need more than anything at this juncture, is somebody to keep the water smooth until we get resolution. And I can see that I am a turbulent factor that could interfere with the waters. So it's good you're on board.
Well, thank you. And I think the Planning Commission is correct that their number one goal should be to finalize the comprehensive plan process and the implementing ordinance process. We're nearly there. We're scheduled tentatively for the July Land Conservation and Development, or LCDC, meeting. So we're on their radar. And you are correct, some of their ideas don't gel with the realities in Lapine, but we push at every meeting to get them to recognize that Lapine has some unique features that are not the same as Valley cities, or even the same as Bend or Redmond. And as you remember through the public hearing process, Lapine citizens said, hey, make sure our codes are written for us in Lapine. And so that's what we've done. And we're nose above water, which is just fine. And I think there have been changes at DLCD in Salem. The economy certainly has helped us. And the board of LCDC has been, I think, very supportive, which is good for us, because when we place our arguments before them and tell them why we need flexibility and why Lapine deserves to be approved, it's good to have somebody on our side.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And also, Mr. Chair, could I add another goal? I don't know what the intent of this entire Planning Commission, but personally, I, the last year or so, have pretty much been chomping at the bit to get a community development department up and running for this new little city of Lapine. Albeit a very small department, but being a city since 2006, and still under the wing, so to speak, of Deschutes County and a lot of areas, is I think kind of bruising for the ego, you know. And I was excited to have a planner come on board as the city administrator, because I thought, well, this might be the time to finally be a real city. And so I don't know, a goal with everyone else would be to have our own little community development department, but it certainly would be mine.
Well, John, you mentioned that we've been under the wing of Deschutes County for a long time. You know, the 2 years that I was a city councilor, all we did for 2 years was to satisfy the agreements and the laws with the county and with the state, and spend attorney money like there was absolutely no bottom. And that's all we did for 2 years. Mm-hmm. It took that long just to do it, mm-hmm, unfortunately. But that's the way they drug us through it. Mm-hmm. I would also say that one of our goals should be to each of us together prioritize what we think the Planning Commission should recommend to the city insofar as signage, lighting, traffic. We all live here. We all know what the problems are. And I think that should be one of our goals also. But we have to remember that we need to go not real fast, but not real slow, but kind of in the middle. And we have to be nice to everybody, because I don't want anybody coming on my property and telling me, like they did last summer, is they're going to cut all the trees down in front of my house.
I thought we'd rehearse on your property.
You did.
No.
Well, no, I have. You know what I did? I got the specifications for how far off the road that was going to happen. I cut the trees down myself, kept the wood, because the trees that were cut down got all hauled off.
Interestingly, yesterday I got a camcorder for the city and I got a camera. And the purpose for both those things is enforcement purpose. If we're going to be a city and we're going to do enforcement, it's important to have a baseline, and that is that you know what your city looks like at a given point in time when you have the enforcement abilities, because now you're in the planning business. And so I plan to camcorder all of the streets in our community so we can see what the signs look like, we can see what the facades look like, we can see the landscaping. And so when we go to do code enforcement later, if somebody says, you know, this has been like this since 1492, we can say, well, you know, how come it doesn't show up on the camcorder? And so that's something I'm planning to do as soon as we are in a position to be able to do something about enforcement. Right. And the other thing is just to then, with the cameras, to take pictures of things, because when you go to send somebody an enforcement letter, you want to send along a picture of what it is you're trying to express needs to be cured, because that helps motivate them to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very important that each of us in our own neighborhood that live in the city, Justin and I, know and recommend what needs to be done. For example, we have a house down the street from a single family dwelling, 1 acre of land, 5 horses, in a patch of little bitty patch of dirt, 7 dogs, and the man throws his horse manure in the middle of the street. And that's something that has to be taken care of.
Yeah,
and we have another one that where they build a big house, the guy that built it died. All of the trees they took out are piled up in a great big pile in the front yard. They've been there for 5 years. If those trees ever catch on fire, the whole damn town's gonna burn down. And she refuses, the now owner refuses to do anything about it.
Well, again, I've been in the enforcement business for a long time, and provided that the sheriff is on board and the county prosecutor's on board, then you can go through a graduated enforcement process. You know, you don't start out with, by God, you go and you talk to him first. Mm-hmm. Before you start sending them any letters, and you just introduce yourself and you're respectful and you try and encourage it that way, and if that doesn't work, then you send out a series of letters, each one a little bit more aggressive, and you send them out pretty quick. You get 1, 2, 3, and then if that doesn't work, then you have your attorney write a letter. If that doesn't work, then you have an agreement with the prosecutor's office that they will prosecute.
Well, I think the three key words are firm but fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always have to be there. Barbara, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that you prioritize your enforcement goals, because there are so many things that have come up from citizens, from a proliferation of signage, garage sale signs, RV service repair places that have popped up in neighborhoods, and things that tend to affect property value on a larger scale should rise to the top if they're not superseded by public safety issues. You've got to have public safety as number one. So if somebody has a sign that's in the right-of-way and it's blown over into the highway or a street, those are good examples of public safety issues that have to be handled immediately. And then, of course, you kind of do a triage. And through the course of land use planning in Lapine, we have heard everything. So what you may want to do is categorize things according to the ordinances you enforce, zoning, sign, lighting, etc., and then say what has the highest priority, because you'll never get anywhere if you respond to every single concern. You'd be spending all day doing it, and that's expensive.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else with any priorities and goals, ideas?
I would say that along with enforcement and our new fledgling city, what we might want to do before we do really anything else is is do an educational piece, because I firmly believe, I've talked to people that they may not even know they're in a city. They do not know where their property line is, where the road easement is. They actually do not know, some of these people. And for us to sit back in our velvet thrones and say these people need to cut all their trees down, and these people need to get rid of a couple of horses, they don't know what to do. And so, as Steve said, you know, one of the first things you do is an educational piece. You go up and you go, do you even know that you live within the city of Lapine?
Yeah.
They may not. They're still living in the country somewhere.
Well, I have.
And I agree that you just do baby steps.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is I do what's called demand delivery, and that is, unless it's really egregious, then I don't see it. I wait for it to come here.
Right.
It's better, because then somebody says, well, who turned me in? Mm-hmm. And you just say, look, we received a concern, and we had to take care of it, okay? But unless it's egregious, I don't go looking for them, because I could find 500 the first day, mm-hmm. and then send all these letters out, and right. A, overwhelm right. staff, but B, just get this whole community up in a leather. You know, what? Who is that Nazi down there at City Hall that is doing all this code enforcement stuff to us? And it's just, you kind of got to go slow and steady. And when we get bigger, then we can be a little more aggressive. But at the starting gate, you just have to educate more than anything.
Well, what do you suggest as an avenue for education?
Well, you know, a couple things. We could just have a list of the 10 things that are highest on people's checklist, because on the one hand, people are maybe perpetrators of some kind of a conflict, but on the other hand, you've got all these same people going, boy, I want you to make sure that you take care of that. Like, for instance, junk cars in someone's yard comes to mind.
Yeah.
Or your garbage thrown up against the side of the house, or something that looks like a safety hazard, like a vehicle that is four rickety little stand things. It's a big truck, and if a kid leaned up against it, fall over on, you know, and it's out in the street. And there's any number of really dangerous things that people do that they really don't think about what they're doing until you point it out to them. But on the other hand, if they saw their next door neighbor doing that, they'd be down here complaining as well. So you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. One day they're your advocate, and the next day they're the person that's doing the problem.
Well, now, could you put together a very simple list?
Well, what I was thinking of doing was just simply going back to where I came from, because we did code enforcement every day, and just say, what was our top 10 list there? And likely our top 10 list there is a good starting point for our top 10 here, because likely 6 of those 10 would be on our top 10 here. Okay, and then it wouldn't take us very long to come up with 10.
Yeah, well, we could submit something like that to the council and ask them to follow through with a mailing, an article in the paper,
something. Get them to come to the meeting.
You know, and the thing is, the sewer and the water is going to come over here, and my thought is, when the sewer and the water comes over here, that we can take the staff, and we'll have a bigger staff, and we'll have more staff, and part of the staff internally can address complaints, and part of the staff externally can address the complaints, and that will be more complaint reports come as soon as the sewer and water comes over here in a couple months. And then also keep in mind that complaints are seasonal. They change by season. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, mm-hmm. In the city I was in, CUNA, summertime, our number one complaint was grass this high, or weeds, or something related to debris. You know, wintertime was totally different.
Yeah. Everything looks beautiful with 2 feet of snow on top of it.
Yeah. Well, now, remember, when you start talking about the staff and sewer water, I don't know if you heard anything, but there is already a big thing against those five people doing anything in the city other than sewer and water work. Now, I know for a fact that it doesn't take two guys on a truck to pump out a septic tank, and that's what they do. One holds the hose and one talks.
Well, well, again, you know, a city...
As long as you understand that, right, that's
understand
there.
That. They may be their position, and we'll have to address that as time goes on. But you want to have your staff cross-fertilized so that you get the economies of scale from having more people. Mm-hmm. They're conversing in more things. And I mean to tell you, yesterday morning I was out shoveling the snow off of our sidewalk. I don't know if that was part of my duty, but by God, it needs to be done, and so it's part of my duty, all right? Mm-hmm. And that means that I'm out there doing things in the community that need to be done too, instead of just behind this desk, and everybody else that works here, same thing, you know?
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, anything else on goals and priorities? Probably not. Okay. Barbara?
Deborah,
are you there?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add on the comp plan or the zoning map that you haven't already gone over?
No, I just wanted to add one thing, and we've talked about this before, but as a strategy and as a way to be more effective, we had talked about having the Chamber of Commerce be a supporter and with us on any enforcement program. They have a huge number of participants, and they have good outreach, and a combined effort with the Chamber of Commerce might be a good way to proceed so that we have as much public involvement and outreach on enforcement as possible, and you might get, you know, double your bang for the buck.
Thank you.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Deborah, can you shovel snow?
That is a personal responsibility of every property owner.
I see. Okay.
I sure do my share of it.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll somehow wrap you into the fold and have you doing stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to give a demo if I survive.
There you go.
Okay. Moving to number 9, review of training resources and materials. Do we have, John and I have already done training manuals and so forth, but Norm and you haven't. So is there something other than what we get in the mail every month in that planning magazine, which to me means absolutely nothing, that is available for any kind of helpful training, Patty?
We have a library upstairs.
Do you?
With the books for the Planning Commission. So okay. If anybody's interested.
Are they free to
check
mm-hmm. some of that out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I have
too.
A whole bunch of books on planning.
Do you?
Yeah. And in fact, I'll just bring those down here and we'll have a planning library.
Okay, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Very good idea.
And then, I don't know, are you folks members of the American Planning Association?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a full commission. We are.
Yeah.
What the commission is?
He's starting to get some newsletters.
What it is it the one membership and then it just lists the five commissioners?
No, normally you have each member as a member of the planning.
Yeah, I had to go in and
Well, new members will
have
to sign up for that.
Justin will, do you, are you signed up on APA, Norm?
No.
Well, okay, so Norm and Justin.
I just did them recently.
Okay.
Like within the last 2 weeks.
It'll take, 30 days or whatever.
Okay.
And they have all kinds of instructional stuff. Yep. I've been a member for 25 years now. It's a good organization. Mm-hmm. There's 35,000 members.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's a good idea you had about bringing that, setting up a library.
We forget just how important land use planning is. A seventh of the economy of the United States is tied to land. Mm-hmm. So it's just not a matter of I have a house and my private rights within the house, but it drives all of our economic engines, and if we're not careful with how we apply codes and procedures, then you impair the economic engine. So how do you grow the city? How do you grow its value? How do you get everybody on the same page? How do you do interesting things in your community? And how do you bring along the naysayers? And it's a big job being a planning commission member. It's not an easy task.
Well, remember one of the problems we've always had, and you can tell by the amount of audience we have here, that prior to incorporation, when everybody was, you know, talking about it, a ton of promises were made that could no way and ever be fulfilled. And then when the people voted, and it passed, only passed by 39 votes, by the way, none of those promises ever came true, and a lot of the people, particularly in my neighborhood, just said, well, phooey on you. They don't come to the meetings. They don't, we only get about 40% voting rate here in Lapine, in the city itself, and they're just pretty much, they don't care. Well, so we have a problem with getting them to care about what we're doing and where we live.
I just hope you don't think that you're alone. I mean, every place I've been, it's the same thing. The only people that show up for a planning commission meeting are usually the applicant, maybe a couple neighbors, and that's it. You know, unless you're doing something really, that's volatile. Like, for instance, if you were to do a cat licensing program or something like that, you probably have 1,000 people in here, but by the way, you don't want to do a cat license.
Do you have any idea what's going on with the lot next door to St. Vincent de Paul, which has just been approved by the county to turn it into two tax lots instead of one, covering a total of 2.6 acres, I think it is?
Deborah, which do you one? Think maybe St. that's Vincent? A partition?
Right next to St. Vincent. That's all. It is owned by St. Vincent.
Yeah.
Anybody right. have any
owned
idea
by
what they're going to do with
it? DePaul, and it was last year that they asked us on how to proceed so they could sell a portion of their property, and we told them they had to go through the process. There wasn't any magic pixie dust to just make it happen overnight, and they've gone through the county process, and they have sent us a decision for us to review. I went through it. I didn't see any issues that were out of line with the county code, and unless the Planning Commission has any specific comments they want us to send back to the county, I didn't see an issue.
I got that report from the county too, and it looks fine to me.
Is it a land division?
Yeah, it's a partition, sorry.
Okay, and is that what I would call a lot split?
Yes, one additional lot's being created.
Okay, and then the lot that's being created meets all the underlying zoning provisions for that lot size?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they have to make sure they meet setbacks and that they're not creating something that's illegal.
Now, are there any limits on how many times you can split a lot?
Typically, it's 3-4 maximum, depending on the history. Sometimes Oregon law allows additional splits if something has occurred a very long, long time ago. And I don't want to get into great detail, but Oregon also requires, and the county requires, that lots be legally created. So we nip any series partitions or skating around the law by making sure every lot is legally created. If somebody comes forward and they want to do a partition or a subdivision, and we know that the lot has not been legally created, they need to go through a process or show us evidence that it's exempt from that process.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Moving to number 10, Planning Commissioner Reports. John, you have anything to report?
I do not.
You're reportless?
I would like to just ask the other commissioners if they received the Oregon League of Oregon Cities training.
No.
Training
no.
seminars that they have.
No.
One thing that really benefited me I've been in real estate 20 years, thought I knew everything about Oregon land use and everything. But the League of Oregon Cities puts on excellent training seminars. I would highly recommend that you guys take advantage of some of those. It takes approval through the city. A lot of it is travel a little bit. I went to a few seminars that cost upwards of, by the time my gas was reimbursed and everything, $400 or $500 this last couple of years, and the city has reimbursed me for that, and I benefited from that training. So you just have to apply through the city manager, but Patty can give you the...
You're the only one that gets the brochure for some reason on the planning commission.
Hmm. Well, maybe it goes to the chair. I try to pass it around to everybody. But she'll have, I don't have a League of Oregon Cities pamphlet with me. But anyway, get a hold of Patty, get a hold of that, of those training. Now, is there a website they can just simply...
Yeah, I can go ahead and see if I can find some information on that.
But these are some professional trainings that I'd recommend going to, and just try to learn all you can about your job here. This is a very, very important job, and it doesn't hurt to know mapping and land use issues and these type of things. And you'll find it. Some of the best stuff is through that League of Oregon Cities.
Where do they typically hold those seminars?
Different towns throughout. There's even some in Redmond sometimes. Okay. As close as Bend and Redmond. So it's in different areas. They will export their training into your town. Now, there'd have to be quite a
gathering.
There'd have to be quite a gathering for Lapine, Oregon. But Bend and Redmond, I see seminars in those two towns quite often. Some of them are in Salem.
Thank you. Justin, anything?
No, I have nothing to report.
Okay. Norm?
No, I'm good for now.
Okay, well, I have a couple of comments. Our next meeting is going to be on sometime.
Sometime?
Sometime. It'll be sometime around the clock.
Andy,
it'll be April the 18th.
Third Wednesday.
I will be absent. And John, you can pick the time, 5:30 or 6:00. Take your pick, whatever's convenient for you. I'll be eating, drinking, and funning in the Caribbean. Not necessarily in that order, but I'll be there.
So we could meet down there.
We could meet down there.
There
yes,
you go.
Yes, we can. We can get the city jet.
Just get the travel. You just have to get travel chit signed by Steve.
Yeah.
We just take the city jet. And I don't think. Yeah. I think as long as you've got your passports with you.
Yes.
Oh,
and then we're all.
Who's peddling the jet?
We're all going to the thing this Friday and Saturday. Except
yeah.
Justin's going to make it on Saturday.
I'll be here Saturday, yes.
Okay. We're all signed up, ready to go for that.
The Foundation thing?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Anything else?
The meeting in April, can you make it at 5:30 or 6:00? I probably won't be able to be in town until about a quarter after.
Quarter after 6:00?
Just not at 5:00. 5:00 would be a too early.
Oh, morning. No.
5:30.
We don't usually go that early. Okay. What's the normal time we've been going?
I think 6:00 is the best time, isn't it?
6:00?
We've been doing 5:00. We went to
5:30.
I like 5:30 if that's
okay.
Okay.
Everybody. Yeah, we don't want to change things up that have been working. So
let's
say 5:30.
April 18th at 5:30. 5:30.
Anything else, Steve?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you.
Hey, you know what? If you weren't here, we wouldn't know what to do. And that's a fact.
Speak for yourself.
Well, again, this whole issue of land use planning is very complicated.
Yes, it is.
It just is. It's got all kinds of nuances. And you have to be really creative because every parcel out there, even if they look like they're all the same, is different. And so you have to take into consideration all the differences of each parcel relative to all your rules and regulations.
and somehow make it work. And sometimes you just have to be a maestro in order to make it work, but the goal is to make it work. You want in a community every property to have value because it can be developed.
That's right.
Okay. And you can start out by having so many rules and regulations that it impairs some of them, just strikes them out from development opportunity. So the challenge is, how do you have rules that work, and how do you still allow for development of stuff so as to maximize development opportunities? And the more the growth occurs, the more wealth the city has, and some of that wealth then comes back to the city to be able to provide more services. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to impair the marketplace as part of your land use planning, but on the other hand, you want to assure the integrity of whatever it is that's going to be built, because a subdivision, for example, is generally there. There's studies that show the subdivision generally is around for about 225 years. So when you approve those roads, and when you approve those frontages, and when you approve the sidewalks, and all of it, it's going to be there for about 8 generations. So it's something that's going to outlast you, and you want it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Deborah, you have anything to add?
No, sounds good to me.
Thank you for being with us. We appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll enter a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, I forgot to do this when we started.
Do it. Something that we're talking about, and maybe one or more of you want to be involved, and it's planning related, and that is, if we're going to be a new city,